way down in Missouri when I heard this lullaby. While the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.
Welcome to Sherman, Missouri. This is Missouri, one county at a time. Today we are in Howe County for March 2nd, 1857. 928 square miles of beautiful southern Missouri right here on the Arkansas line. And we have a big group, and it's going to be a fun group. Kelly Wagner, the county clerk. Ms. Wagner, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Calvin Wood, commissioner, thank you so much for having us here. And we're not in the courthouse. We're in the office building, right?
Yep. We're here in the office building. Thank you.
But we're just across the street here on the square. A voice I want you to hear closely. I think it's going to be a good time. We have Lou Weimer. I say that right, sir?
Weimer.
Weimer.
Close enough.
We're going to call him the county historian. We're having fun with him today. Ralph Riggs, the presiding commissioner. Commissioner, thank you so much for having us here.
Glad to be here.
Zora Mulligan, the head of Missouri State West Plains. Thank you for making the time.
It's always a pleasure.
And Dustin Collins of the Missouri Farm Bureau. We appreciate you being here. And we appreciate Farm Bureau sponsoring the show.
Just happy to be here.
This is going to be great. We're going to start right off. We did a little pregaming for you guys before Kelton pushed record. So in the state archives, they have Howe County was settled by a guy named Josiah Howe, a pioneer in what is the Howe Valley. Lou, that's not right, is it?
Well, he was the father of the Howe family, but his son, Thomas J. Howe, Thomas Jefferson, had served as a state representative prior to that while we were part of Ripley and then Oregon County. So the county, when it was formed in 1857, was named in honor of him. It's in the legislative records.
That's awesome. So tell them about the Howe family. Where they come from?
Kentucky, I believe. You know, I don't remember.
They just followed that normal pattern of the East Coast, Cumberland, Kentucky in here. Well, sir, tell me how you came to live here in Howe County.
I was not born here. I was born in Springfield, but my parents lived in Willow Springs. So they're both imports. My father was from St. Louis or northern St. Louis, Florissant area. And my father was from Jefferson City, but they had both come to Willow Springs for jobs and met, and here I am.
What did they come here to do?
My dad was a dairy sanitarian, or he inspected grade A dairy barns for the city of St. Louis. Back then, milk was taken to St. Louis to be processed. And my mom just did different secretarial type jobs until she married my father.
Ms. Wren, how'd your family come to live here in Howe County?
We have been here in Howe County for at least five generations that I can count back on my dad's side. So I was born and raised here. My parents were born and raised here. We were all Zizzers. My husband was a Zizzer. His family was a Zizzer. That's our local mascot, in case you didn't know. So we've been here all my life.
Mr. Wood, how did your family come to live here?
Well, we moved here. I think I'm the fifth generation here, so we're lifelong residents. My grandkids make it seven generations, if my math is correct, but just born and raised right here.
Mr. Riggs, how'd you come to live here in Howe County?
Well, I was born and raised here at a farm out east of town. I'm a fifth generation Howe Countyan, and my maternal grandparents, they came from Kentucky, and my paternal was from Pennsylvania, and my grandpa, he was a sawmill sawmill man, and we've lived here. I've lived within 6 miles of where I was born my whole life.
Is that right? That's awesome. Now, where do you live now?
Where have you lived? I live about 6 miles east of West Plains.
Okay. Ms. Mulligan, how'd your family come to live here? I think it's an interesting story.
It is. So my parents moved here in the 70s. You know, a lot of people settle in a place that reminds them of home. My parents came to a place that reminded them of the opposite of home. They had come from Detroit, suburban Detroit, and moved down to the Ozarks in the 1970s to get away from the city. Tried to farm rocks for a couple of years, did some factory jobs, and then my mom ended up in nursing school, and we've been here most of the time since.
Mr. Collins, how'd you come? How'd your family come live here?
I'm born and raised at the hospital here in town. Well, we came from Ozark County. Depression is the story I was told. We I didn't finish everything out of Ozark County and wound up in Howell.
Where do you farm at?
Southeast of town, between West Plains and Brandsville.
Okay, and that where you live?
Right there.
Right there. On, you keep an eye on it. So, Howell County's history is a little bit abbreviated because while it was formed in 1857, the county records were destroyed in an 1866 fire. And then West Plains was called Howell Valley. Is that correct? Before it was West Plains?
You know, I'm not sure exactly what they called it. But yes, this sounds reasonable. Town was named by the guy that surveyed the town, John R. Woodside. So when he surveyed the town, in 1848 or somewhere in that time frame, Ralph knows that.
So they left it up to him to name it after he surveyed it off.
Yes, and he said, well, it's the plains west of Thomasville. This area here was all covered with little and big blue stem grass, very few trees. The letters that I read of the earliest settlers, their greatest complaint were there aren't enough logs or large trees to build a cabin. Fire had changed all of this. Native people had used fire, and then when the early settlers come, they use fire. So pretty quickly, the blue stem goes away. By being plowed, and then trees start to come up. But
I guess it's been long enough. Some of them trees are pretty good size now, huh?
Right.
They built a small wooden courthouse on the West Plains Town Square in 1859. It was damaged during a civil war unrest in 1862. It was a real bad time to build a courthouse in the 1850s in Missouri, right?
Right. So this one was built in 1858, and you know, actually the lumber was hauled into here because we didn't have any water mills or sawmills here. So they bought the lumber from Ironton by oxen, usually by ox cart.
They talk about how West Plains is pretty well deserted by guerrilla warfare and bushwhackers. And then in 1869, that Julian T. Britton was hired to build a 24 by 30 three-room building for $755.50 of the $1,200 appropriated. Now, Mr. Wood, there's not a commissioner I've ever met that wouldn't be really proud of that. The building would be fine, but it coming in that much under budget, that had to make a commissioner smile.
That had to make a commissioner smile right there.
That is good Southern Missouri commissioner.
That is.
And then in 1882, $15,000 was appropriated for new Howell County Courthouse. A 19-year-old, Henry Hohenschild, designed it. And yeah, they get $2,200 for his plans. He was very successful at designing beautiful courthouses all throughout Missouri.
Right.
Especially Southern Missouri. Well, if you see the courthouse today, you wouldn't think it was these grandiose plans. It's like a lot of courthouses. The one they built after the Civil War was a little bit more grand than the one if they built it during the WPA time. We got a color picture of it. It does. You can tell that is a design how he uses the top of the roof, and that is in several of the courthouses he designed. It certainly was in this courthouse, this 1882 courthouse. Three-story building, 65 by 65, and cost $16,000. And that leads us, and what the fate of this courthouse leads to one more interesting story. Somebody's got to tell me the story about the explosion.
1929 dance hall explosion.
So what happened?
Well, they're not sure, but the speculation is that there was a garage underneath the building, and either by accident or intention, the gasoline got out and blew the bond building, basically totally destroyed it. The explosion was strong enough that it damaged the courthouse really beyond permanent use. Within a year, they'd abandoned it or condemned it.
How many people died?
Was it?
There were several fatalities from it.
20-some people, as I recall.
Say it was in the 20s, yeah.
And then the a story about that, my grandpa lived at Fanchon, which is just a little town northeast of West Plains. And the night of the explosion, he was planning to come to the dance. So he got on his horse, and Way told it about a mile or so out of Fanchon, the horse threw a shoe, and he decided not to come to the dance. So I say I'm here because a horse threw a shoe.
Just that much. God, back in the history. Just that
little thing, you know.
Everything's different.
Yeah.
After the explosion, it clearly took a few years, but finally they decided to accept. It looked like you were coming to the end of the WPA time where they had the money. So they decided to the voters passed a $50,000 bond in November of 35, and it got $45,000 in federal match. And it's funny how trends go with a government building like that. This is very much in keeping with the Madison County style. And mm-hmm. and then the new courthouse that was built in that WPA time, it looks a lot like Butler County. It's kind of a more basic building. It's kind of sad to lose that historical building, you know. But I guess the Depression era, they didn't have time for a lot of fancy designs. They were going to pay for just barely what they could. And you can always tell a courthouse in Missouri, you might not know who designed it like you can some of these. Like Mississippi County has its own historical thing, but you could definitely tell one that was built in the 30s and 40s. It just, there's a
distinctive appearance.
There's a lack of some of the architecture that you'd have with other buildings.
What's kind of interesting, too, about this particular courthouse is after the explosion, when it was evident that the courthouse had to be replaced, the community of Willow Springs vied for the courthouse. They offered land and money to try to move the courthouse to the northern end of the county. And there was a big battle, a lot of nasty exchanges in the newspaper about all of this, but eventually they put it right back here on the square. The second courthouse that you talked about prior to the 1882 courthouse also was on the south side of the square. It wasn't in the center.
So this was like a picnic ground, or they have a stage for singing, or?
And, during the war, it all grew up in brush during the Civil War. When the first settlers come back here, that's what they talk about, is how if you cut across the square, you went through a jungle, basically.
That's how fast the folks would ever know we were here, right?
In 5 years, everything had gone away.
Yeah.
And the building was burned down in 1863.
Was that guerrillas, or who was that?
I think it was Southern guerrillas to keep the Union Army from using the buildings here. The town had been occupied at least twice by large Union armies. At one time, there were 300 wagons parked all around the square here from the Union Army, the Army of the Southeast, when it came down in the first month of 1863.
It felt like around here there wasn't a fight. They were the Southern folks, whoever that happened to be there, they would just retreat when the army came. And then when the army left, they'd try to move back in, right?
Yeah, and even, the town got occupied by Southern armies here several times. And that's really what got our courthouse shelled, is William Coleman was recruiting here and using the courthouse as his building.
They drew fire, huh?
Yeah.
So it is interesting, though. The Civil War shaped every Missouri county. And here, just because there wasn't a major battle, it pretty much desolated the county, right? If
yes.
Anything worth taking, one of the armies took it.
When we start the war, the 1860 census shows 3,169 people inhabiting Howe County, and by the end of the war, I'm hard-pressed to find 100 people left. They weren't all killed, but they all, left.
Yeah. Well, when there's nothing to eat, and I always found it interesting about Southern Missouri. It started off very pro-Confederate, but about the third time a foraging party came through, your commitment to the cause started to wane because they just kept taking from you.
Bring between 5,000 and 9,000 soldiers to West Plains today and see what see what happens to the food.
The folks sour, I would say, pretty quick. There was a story I've read about, and there's not a ton of history wrote on it. West Plains, or Howe County, I guess, made a bid for the state capitol at one time.
Yes.
I guess when it burned down, they had a gentleman with an apple orchard, right? What was his name?
Jay Torrey, wasn't it? Was that
Carson Jay Torrey?
Yeah. same kind of a deal when the courthouse or when the Capitol burned. Torrey had all this land at a place he called Torreytown. It was kind of an idyllic village that he was creating, and he had the money to try to entice him. Made the offer. It wasn't accepted.
I like the guts on it, though. Good for him.
Really?
Step up and say, put the state capitol right here in Howell County. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about Howell County today.
Wait, you got to hear the history of the college.
Well, I was going to get to that on the schools.
All right. Go on.
We'll absolutely talk about the history of Missouri State University, West Plains, and all things good. We'll first thank our sponsors, the Missouri Farm Bureau, the Missouri Association of Co-ops, and the Missouri Association of Counties. Let us come to places like Howell County here in West Plains, on this beautiful town's courthouse square, and talk about the history of this county. We're going to come back and talk about Howell County as it is today after this.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the Missouri way of life. We're for worrying less about the what-ifs and more about the why-nots. We're for checking off your bucket list and then making a new one. For starting a family, a business, a tradition. And if you find yourself starting over, we're here for that too. We're for building a life in Missouri and then going out and living it. And when it comes to making sure everything you've built is protected, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance.
The Show Me Missouri podcast is brought to you by our friends at HALO, Heartland Area Landowners. HALO is a membership-based organization for folks interested in farming the sun and the wind. HALO members are passionate about their land, our world, and stewarding the resources that feed America, power, and its economy. Farming the sun and wind has incredible benefits for farmers, landowners, and all Missouri communities, all while helping secure America's energy independence. To learn more about HALO and how you can get involved, visit heartlandowners.farm. That's heartlandowners.farm.
Welcome back to Show Missouri. This from Missouri, one county at a time. We are in Howell County this week, West Plains. We're in the town square, a beautifully laid out town square, very reminiscent to a lot of others you'd see. We are joined by the county clerk, Ms. Kelly Wagner, the commissioner, Calvin Wood, Lou Weimer, we call him local historian, jack of all trades, it sounds like. Ralph Riggs, the presiding commissioner, Zora Mulligan with Missouri State, and Dustin Collins with the Missouri Farm Bureau. Commissioner Riggs, where do folks work at here in Howell County?
Well, there's several large employers. Of course, we have the university. You know, there's a lot of people work at the university. We have Ozarks Healthcare, which is our local medical center. A lot of people work there. And we have DRS, Leonardo DRS, which is a defense contractor that builds loaders for aircraft, air transport, ships them around the world. We have Caterpillar that makes hydraulic hoses, and
a very big beer distributorship.
We have a beer distributorship in Pomona.
Aerie Back. Global Health.
Yep. Yeah. And on our hardwood side, too, we have... Yeah, hardwood flooring. We have Armstrong hardwood flooring. We have several other hardwood flooring companies. We have Royal Oak Charcoal that makes charcoal briquettes that, they ship nationwide.
10 school districts.
Yeah, 10 school districts.
Let's go through and let's talk about the school district. What school districts are here in Howell County? That is a uniquely reaction, Howell County reaction. Most places can name the three or four.
I know them all. I can name them all. We've got West Plains. We've got Willow Springs, Mountain View. There is Howell Valley, Junction Hill, Richards.
You're eating good.
Fairview.
Evan.
Glenwood.
Eight.
Then we have residents that are in the Bakersfield School District, although Bakersfield School itself does not sit in Howell County, and we've got Koshkonong.
Now, is that Ripley County?
Birch Tree, we're still...
She said Mountain View.
Did she? Yeah.
Okay. Kosh is Oregon County.
Yeah, Kosh is
I went to
Oregon
kindergarten
County.
First grade.
Gotcha.
We call it Kosh.
But we have... So yeah, we share districts with several different counties, but... the first ones that I named are actually located in Howell County, and then we have a few that are actually located in a different county, but we have residents that go there.
I went to Neelyville High School. We played Koshkonong, and I felt bad. Most of them had to hyphenate their shirt,
And then one old boy had a shirt big enough, they just went all the way across. And I was like, that's not, that looks better, but I don't think that's how you want your shirt to hang out. All right, who's the big rival
for West Plains?
The Bears.
Yeah, back in my day, it was definitely Willow Springs, West Plains. I think the rivalry never stopped after they tried to.
Pretty deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty deep.
However, we're in a different conference now, so we play some of the bigger schools. I know Webb City is always in there.
So you don't play West Plains, Willow Springs anymore?
No. We don't. Now you're talking sports. It's out in my wheelhouse. But
why did they quit playing Willow Springs?
Too big.
We're too big.
Well, Willow Springs still probably wanted to play, right?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, you got a couple games.
As a former Bear, yes.
Bring it on.
There's a little bit of rivalry there.
There is. And that really, I think, was the origin then of the competition for the courthouse and all of that. Willow Springs and West Plains have always kind of competed.
Sure.
Yeah.
However, we have a great relationship now with the city of Willow Springs and great partnership with our communities.
Well, I think Willow Springs and Mountain View still has a rivalry.
Yeah, still a pretty heavy rivalry there.
Yep. So does West Plains play basketball against Willow Springs?
All of our conference has been moved to the bigger schools. We play Springfield, Joplin.
I think the only time they meet is in tournaments. They'll meet sometimes in tournaments. I know during softball, they meet during tournaments down there. And it's still there.
Yeah, I started to say that.
We had an annual Thanksgiving Day game in the 50s that was, they would take the whole trains. And all the citizens of Willow Springs had come to West Plains or vice versa, back and forth.
I got a great uncle. The story was there was a basketball game, and Willow Springs had a really good, and I don't know what he was. Anyway, my uncle Wendell wound up tackling him halfway through the match, and went up having the Highway Patrol escorted all the West Plains people out of town over it. Like, it's a whole
That's great.
whole thing.
But we love each other now.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you're having to say that an awful lot.
Great partnership now.
Ms. Moga, tell folks about, so the whole history of this college has changed a lot. Tell folks about what is now Missouri State West Plains.
Well, I have to tell the origin story because it's a really good politics story. So we had an old boy named Granville Vaughn who was a state rep, didn't have a college degree, owned a filling station. And he had been over to Warrensburg and saw they had a little satellite campus there. It wasn't UCM, it was something else. And he got it in his mind that West Plains needed one of those, little satellite campuses. And so nobody was very excited about it, but he got on the phone and just worked it and worked it and finally got enough support that the school district said, if you do it, you can have your classes here for a while. And the local paper, the West Plains Daily Quill, Frank L. Martin II, was an advocate and so used the paper to get people excited about the college. And so Granville was on the budget committee and on the education committee. And he used that to try to get Springfield's interest in us being a satellite campus. And Springfield said, no, thank you. And so he told them he would cut their budget if they didn't say yes. And they said, all right, you can give it a try. If you can enroll 100 students, then we'll take this on. So they opened up enrollment. They got 87 students. And he got back on the phone. And, every preacher and teacher and everybody else in Howe County was able to come up with one kid or another. And so that's how we got to where we are today. So it's a really important part of this community.
So was it a community college?
It's never been a community college. I mean, this is a little nerdy, but community colleges are supported by local property tax and governed by a local board. So we don't have local property tax.
I always think that because from Poplar Bluff, Three Rivers Community College, they hated playing West Plains. And I think they just called it West Plains Community College because they didn't know the difference because there's Gene Bess, the historic coach there, his assistant, Tom Barr, came over here.
Yeah.
And that made that a pretty personal fight for a long time.
Three Rivers is today still a big rival. Mineral area, Three Rivers, we hate them. And we like to beat them every time we can. So I will
not
say.
Not parsing like we are
with
Will.
No. There's no need.
That's pretty direct.
I know.
I have found, though, if you have a buddy and I was like, how's everything going? How you get along with the wife? And he says, it's great. We have a great relationship. About the third time he says it, I'm like, Okay, that's really that's cool.
Yeah.
So how did they play sports in what I still call it junior college? I know it's not called that anymore. But
so we're part of the NCJAA, so the National Community Junior College Association, Athletic Association. So we play those teams. They're part of our league.
So the campus has just grown into its own, and Missouri State's really taken a lot of steps forward in the last.
Yep.
When did Cliff come?
Oh, I want to say 2005.
Missouri. It felt like when Kevin Engler, who was actually a Farmington person who probably has kinfolks in Mineral Area, he changed the name to Missouri State. Yeah. I thought that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And then you had a few years after that, Cliff Smart came to town or came to the job. And then I think everything, including this campus, has probably been benefiting from some of the success it's all having together.
Yep, all those things are true. We share a single line item appropriation. And so when Springfield does good, we do good. And when West Plains does good, Springfield does good.
So how many folks go there?
We're about 2,000 students, which is a great number, and we're looking to grow.
Well, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. Now, what year did all this happen?
1963 was the year the campus was established. Well,
4 years, you bet,
60 years.
I'm just thinking, you're better at math than me. But in that time, that's growth from 100 to 2,000.
It's a lot of growth. So some of the drivers were in 1993, we got our first sports team. So we got basketball, which was hugely successful. Volleyball, also really, really successful. Got a residence hall on campus. And so people were able to come from outside of Hell County to go to school. So those things have really helped distinguish us as a campus. And then we've got some signature programs that are, huge magnets for us and also really important for the communities.
So is that a program where you can get a full bachelor's degree? Or?
So you get an associate degree, but we do have some programs you can complete through Springfield on the Missouri State campus. So we educate a lot of teachers, for example, through that partnership. And, again, it's just important for the community.
What degrees can you get? What full bachelor's degree can you get and not have to leave Hell County?
So right now, if you want to do in-person, it is education. But there are partnerships where you can do flexible or online that, you could have all the in-person contact you need in West Plains, but, complete a bachelor's degree through Springfield. So it's a good thing.
That is.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good on that old boy for holding them up.
It's a good deal. Yeah, it's a good deal for sure. It's a reminder that if you ever, run into something, you got to get on the phone and start working on it.
I remember I was in Buchanan County, and they were very proud of their Missouri Western College, and they had this real altruistic view. And 99% of the time, when you talk to the person, they're like, Thomas Howell and Josiah Howell, you could just tell somebody knows. And this was a little shaky when I was reading it. But they really thought they had this wonderful altruistic thing in Buchanan County that everybody's wanted to build a college. Well, that wasn't true at all. Governor Hearns was running from Charleston. So when he went up there, he promised them a four-year college if you elect me. And they did, and he delivered. It was absolutely the same type of deal. It was just somebody in the right place needed something at the right time. And
same thing with Missouri Southern and Joplin. Yep.
Good thing happened. Then about the politics of the area, Commissioner Riggs is I always thought, there's a typical rural Missouri progression from Depression era, Civil War, Depression, staunch Democrats. In the 80s, it starts to turn, and now it's probably generally all Republican. But I always thought Hell County turned Republican a little early. It was one of the earlier rural counties to turn.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
But when did Republicans start winning county elections here?
Civil War. Right after the Civil War, really, you couldn't run as a Democrat. The William Monks and some of the winners in the war had taken over the county.
So there was probably had to be a time in the Depression where it was pretty Democratic, right?
Yes.
When did it start to change to what it is now, that trajectory? Was it the 80s? I always thought Chuck.
Pretty quickly.
The one we saw was Chuck Pergerson get elected, and it was kind of a somewhat of an anomaly. And then it's never flipped back,
We had Democrats win for a while. I mean, I think about Travis Morrison, who was
Jess Garnett.
So there were, lots of everybody
would win. But generally, it wasn't a wise decision to run as a Democrat.
Explain on it. I mean, because you'd probably go a county either way, and you'd see a lot of Democrats.
I think that a lot of it got changed after the war by the Republicans under a radical Republican rule. They you couldn't vote, you couldn't run for public office, and the county commission, when they bring the government back up in 1865, they go, "Well, we got to have taxes." we're going to charge taxes to anyone who fought for the Confederate side, the full tax load of 5 years. Our county government shut down as the war started, so we had no due process, no civil, you know, activity at all from the government. So they said, well, if you fought for the Union side, you don't owe anything. So consequently, you know, taxes were substantial, and this is a kind of a cashless economy here. So consequently, a lot of people lose their land. It goes back to the county. It's sold on the courthouse steps, and monks and some of the radical Republicans would buy the land up and refuse to sell it to Democrats or to former Confederates. So when you look in the cemeteries here, you'll see very few Confederate soldier monuments. You know, they got the pointed, the government monuments have got the pointed top, but the round ones, you'll find a lot of them. So it was an unfriendly place for Democrats. Yet over in Oregon County, it wasn't a friendly place for Republicans after the war. And you actually saw land exchange because of that in the period that I can't live here anymore.
Good. That makes total sense. But yeah. Usually it's the other way around. Like Oregon County was much more the norm for outstate Missouri.
Right.
Howell County's always been a little bit of an anomaly. Howell and Cape. Mm-hmm. I always found that where the railroad stopped at the war, whether Rolla or Bolivar, they were a little more Republican friendly.
Yes.
In outstate Missouri. But other than that, there was a few outliers like Cape and West Plains. But other than that, it's pretty much more Oregon's more the norm, I think.
Right.
Well, I like to talk. We got to talk about famous folks here. Let's talk about the one everyone's going to know and maybe have met personally. Who's got a good Wendell Bailey story?
Who does not have a good Wendell You're Bailey right. story?
Commissioner, give me one. I don't know that I could. I'll give you mine.
Okay.
I was a young guy, and he was running his last time, I think maybe in 2002, for lieutenant governor, if I remember right. And I came here to Butler County years ago asking you to give a young man a chance and that we need change and fresh ideas matter. And I stand here all these years later, and I'm here to tell you I was wrong. Experience counts.
Well, I do have... I've been a county surveyor here for 32 years, and then the position of presiding commissioner came up, and I decided to throw my hat in the ring for that. Well, I was advised that the first person that I should talk to in Willow Springs was Wendell Bailey. And he was the first person I went to talk to in Willow Springs and told him what I planned to do.
I've got a personal story about Wendell. When I was not very old, I was 18 years old, I had gone to St. Louis to go to college, and I started working at a startup bank in Clayton, Missouri. Talk about a fish out of water. I was working. It was a great opportunity to learn a lot of things, and one day an entourage of people come walking in with their sunglasses on, and the president, of course, swarmed this person. I had no idea who was coming or anything. I wasn't privy to the plans. Lo and behold, I hear him say, "Hello, I'm Wendell Bailey, treasurer, state of Missouri." He was promoting his MoBucks.
Oh, that's awesome.
I thought, I know Wendell Bailey. He rode horses with my dad when they were kids. So I couldn't not take an opportunity to, you know, say, "Hey, I know you." So I went up to Mr. Bailey and I said, "Mr. Bailey, I don't know if you remember me or not, but you knew my dad." And off come the sunglasses and out comes the hand. And the president just thought that I must be
somebody. Well, you're the treasurer, yeah.
I personally know the treasurer of the state of Missouri.
That's a good story.
That is great. That is great. He's talking about, I think you're a consummate politician back when meeting people one-on-one mattered more than it does today. He was he was just great at it. He could own a room.
I got to say, you know, I had different jobs at the state over the years, and every job I had, Wendell was always calling me about something. He always had something he wanted to get on me about, something he needed me to help him do, rural education, you know, rural broadband. He is always working a project, and he is relentless.
And most often, it wasn't for him.
No, it was not for him. That's correct. It was not for him. That's my experience
with Wendell.
Yep.
My father taught him Sunday school at the First Baptist Church in Willow Springs, and he said he was the honoriest kid he ever had.
Of course, being from Willow Springs up there, John and Wendell, of course, they've been in the car business forever, but Wendell has never forgot about his community. He still works today. He still works today. Mm-hmm. At Wendell's age, he still works today for his community. It's every move he makes is for his community. So,
yeah, he's come up to the commission several times, and you know, I've got this idea, I've got this project, you know, over the past, you know, 2.5 years. He's been up here several times, and I've got this project.
Always pushing for economic development.
But it's all for the city of Willow Springs.
Yep.
That's awesome. That's a great legacy. Preacher Rowe, famous baseball player. I saw a street name for him come up on last night. Then, of course, I saw the CEO of Walmart, David Glass, was a Howe Countyan.
Mountain View, Birch Tree. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Porter Wagner, one of my favorite singers, who I've heard many stories. Some of them we probably can't tell right here with our friends at Farm Bureau. Might appreciate it. Who's got a Porter Wagner's family story? You have to get them all because people think you're related to them.
I am. I introduce myself, and the next question that comes out of people's mouth is, "Are you related to Porter Wagner?" And I say, "No, I'm not." But my grandparents actually lived across the street from his grandparents. Just a few blocks up here off of Cherry Street for years when he was getting his start out at KWPM. I don't think there's a single person that has roots in West Plains that doesn't know him or his sister or a story, some of them true, some of them maybe not true. Legends seem to kind of create folklore.
My mother lived across the alley from Porter's sister. We're on 6th Street. So...
We just had a Porter Wagner and Dolly Day downtown where people dressed up as them and celebrated their careers. And
well, that's great.
They're still celebrated here.
Is that something you do every year, every 5 years?
This probably wasn't the first, but it was the first in a while.
Yeah. You know, the Downtown Association.
Used to. Dolly and Porter came here themselves, but they haven't done that in a while.
That's great. That is a name throughout the state. It was funny, the Speaker of the House from Poplar Bluff put his bust up in the Capitol, a Hall of Famous Missourians. So next time you're up there, it's kind of around the corner, but it's there. It's kind of neat. It's got the tall hair, and you it's one of some of those busts. You really have to kind of read the plaque to know who that is. But him, you can tell they did a good job. The hair is tall and everything. Did I miss anybody else from Howe County?
Claire McCaskill.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
What was the...
Dick Van Dyke.
Jan Howard?
Yeah. Dick Van Dyke.
Van Dyke. Yeah.
Jan Howard. And the... basically, he played for the Houston Astros.
That's right.
He was a manager.
the baseball fields here.
Draw the blank.
You'll think of it in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah,
This is always time I'd like to thank our sponsors one more time. Missouri Farm Bureau, the Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops, and the Missouri Association of Cows. Let's come and talk about the history of West Plains, the very rich history of West Plains. The last question I always like to ask folks is, Kelly, where would you take someone if you brought them to Howe County for a day?
What I like most about Howe County and the reason I've chose to stay here to raise my family, to live my life, and hopefully my children and grandchildren to stay, is just the sense of community. So my answer is pretty simple. I like to go on a walk of an evening, and I like to come down around the square, and it's still, we're growing. Howe County is definitely growing, but we still have that small community feel. So when we're walking around the square, I meet people from all over the county, and they know my name, and I know theirs. It still feels like it's home. I compare West Plains in particular, Howe County in general, to Mayberry. We still live here in Mayberry in many ways. And we might not have some of the big city amenities, but I'll take our community over that every day.
I like that. Commissioner Wood, where would you take someone here in Howe County?
Well, since part of my job's county roads and back roads and dirt roads, I think just traveling out through the countryside, taking the less beaten path, seeing the rural farms is where I would take most people, just to see the countryside.
Lou, where would you take someone here in Howe County?
You know, I thought about that. Maybe Buck Hollow. Is that still in Howe County?
It's right on the edge of Howe County. It's kind of right in between.
Where Highway 17 crosses the Jack's Fork. Beautiful place. And it's got a long history, so I like it.
Mr. Reed, where would you take somebody here in Howe County?
Well, I'm kind of like Calvin. You know, the back roads, and the little towns. You know, Brandsville, you know, it's unique. You know, Caulfield, it has some unique places there. You know, the little restaurants, the three-legged mule. You know, Willow Springs, you know, they have a great, I like to find places to kind of out of the way to eat. You know, they got a nice Italian place in Willow Springs, Mountain Butte. You know, they have a lot of history there. So just like some of the small towns around, and you know, downtown West Plains, you know, got a lot of history here.
Yeah. So where would you take somebody here?
All right, I got to retract. Claire McCaskill is from Texas County.
I thought she was.
She was. All right, so you guys took my answer. I'm a rambler, and so I'm happiest when I'm on the road and, you know, on a dirt road. But if I was going to go someplace specific, I'd go to Blue Springs, which is just off the North Fork of the White River. It's just a beautiful, beautiful spot.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter to take somebody.
I'm going to go just a little different direction. We got the best Dairy Queen in 100 miles.
That is true. That is true.
I'll tell you right now, the Strables run that place half forever. Very active in the community. I'm born and raised in Howe Valley. That's the school district. Yeah. And if you're in that neck of the woods, you really ought to stop. They run a tight ship.
It has the most anatomically correct cow in front of it that you've ever seen.
That's correct. You really ought to stop and see.
Well, you got to go for the cow, nothing else. I want to thank you all so much for having us and the hospitality and sitting visiting us for a while. This is a short Missouri. This year, Missouri One County Time. This week, we're at Howe County, home of Wendell Bailey, Porter Wagner, and a lot of great stories. We'll see you next week.
Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.